Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here again and worship the Lord together. I've appreciated the service this far very much. The devotions this morning goes along very well with the message, I feel. I wanted to talk about prayer this morning. I'll be reading from James chapter 5 here for the first part. Prayer has been described recently as the fuse between the match and the stick of dynamite. And I think that's a good description of what prayer is. You know, of ourselves, there's nothing we can do, but we can pray. And God is in control, and he can do what he sees fit. Sometimes there's some pretty surprising things that happen when God's people pray. Okay, James chapter 5, verse 13 to 18 says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." You know, I just find it amazing here. I read the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 17, 18, and 19. I just read that whole story, how God worked in Elijah's life. And 3 years and 6 months is a long time for it not to rain. Because of Elijah, well, he prayed, and that's what happened. But yet it says here that Elijah, he calls him Elias, he's talking about Elijah, says he was a man of like passions, or subject to like passions as we are. And I take that to mean he is just like us. He has feelings. He was just a common man just like we are. Nothing extra special about him except that he was committed to doing God's will. And that's a big part of prayer today for us. If we want God to hear our prayers, we need to be committed to serving him and be obedient to his word. Man has had a universal need of prayer ever since almost the very beginning. Genesis 4:26 says, "And to Seth and to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began man to call upon the name of the Lord." I'm not sure what happened with that short space in between there, if they didn't pray or if there was a different type of communication. But then it says, after this third son of Adam and Eve, when he had a son, then began man to call upon the name of the Lord. So how should we pray? Matthew 6 talks about that. I'll just read some verses there. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 15. It says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask. After this manner therefore pray ye: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So here Jesus is saying that we need to go in the closet and shut the door and there pray to our Father. I don't think there's anything wrong with public prayer. I don't think that's the point he was making, but we need to have our time, our special time by ourselves with the Lord, where we're nobody but us and him. Daryl talked about love this morning, and appreciated that, because I just had to think, if we really love Jesus like we should, we're going to want to build that relationship. And how do we do that other than praying and seeking his face? The more we love him, I think, the more we're going to pray to him. he says in verse 7 not to use vain repetition. I was just talking with my wife yesterday a little bit about this. It's not really a new thing, but it is something that seems to be sweeping through the Christian community and sadly into some Anabaptist circles of contemplative prayer where you repeat these words over and over, and it's sad what happens from there. It's a very dangerous thing, in my opinion. But Jesus here is saying not to do that. They wanted to be heard for their much speaking as well. And he said, don't be that way. Ecclesiastes 5:2 says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. He's cautioning us, I think, to be careful with the words that we do use. We're talking to a God that's in heaven. When Jesus starts his prayer, he starts at our Father, which art in heaven. He's very respectful. All of Jesus' recorded prayers in the Bible, he prays that way. He addresses God as his Father. I think we would do well to do the same. And then he says, hallowed be thy name. He praises God. He starts out with respectfully, and then he brings praise and adoration. And then he says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Isn't that what we want? God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he prays for physical needs, for our daily bread. Notice he doesn't pray for a week's worth of bread, but the daily bread that we need every day for our physical needs. He also asks for forgiveness. And he makes a point here that is very clear. He says that we need to, he asks for to be forgiven as we forgive others. And then he reiterates that in verses 14 and 15. He says, if we forgive others, then God can forgive us. If we don't forgive others, then God can't forgive us. It leaves no room at all for holding grudges. In verse 13, he prays for spiritual protection from the evil one, for deliverance, and also for protection. You know, that's really our only weapon that we have against the devil. If we pray in Jesus' name, there's nothing that he can do. He can't stay there close by you when we pray in Jesus' name. There's more power in the name of Jesus than what he can take. And then he ends the prayer with more praise and honor to God. And then we also pray in Jesus' name because we believe that, or we know that it is only through Jesus that we can come to the Father. We pray through Jesus' name because of what he's done on the cross. And that's our access to the Heavenly Father. Ephesians 2:18 says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. I guess the point I'm trying to make here with this prayer is to have a well-balanced prayer. I know sometimes there's lots of things going on around us and needs, lots of needs that we have, And we can sometimes, at least I can sometimes, get a little bit lopsided in my prayer, where I'm asking for things all the time and not praising God and thanking Him for things that He's already done in the past. I need to learn to do better at that myself. So unanswered prayers. What are some reasons that our prayers are not answered sometimes? Of course, sin in our life is the biggest thing that would keep our prayers from being answered, from God not hearing our prayers. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." It's just very plain and simple. If we have sin in our heart, the Lord will not hear our prayers. Maybe to bring that out a little bit better, some of you youth were down in Pasaco, Guatemala, where there's a small church. There was a young native man from the city that went down. It's a little church there on the coast, southern coast of Guatemala, just a very small church. And one of the native young men from the city went down for a Wednesday evening service one afternoon. And when he got there, one of the church ladies brought her little baby to church, because this baby was very, very sick. I mean, at the point of death, he looked at the baby and wasn't even sure if it was even alive anymore. So they had a special time of prayer there for the baby, and then went on with the service. There was no real change. And through the course of the service, this young man just felt like he should open it up for a time of confession. And several of the people came forward and made confession and different things. And right at the end of the service, then this lady came forward with her baby again, and she had a confession to make. She had taken this little baby to the witch doctor earlier that day, and he had questioned her about that. She said she didn't, but then later she confessed that sin, and she was very sorry for that. I actually talked to this native person myself when we were there, and he told me the story. So after this lady made her confession, they had prayer again, and just laid their hands on the baby and had prayer. And don't you know, right there in front of them, holding this little baby, her color changed, and she was totally healed right on the spot. And it just blessed me so much to hear that, because God can do that in our lives if it's His will. And if our hearts are right before Him, He will do some amazing things. Maybe our prayers aren't being answered because we don't have mercy in our hearts. Proverbs 21:13 says, "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard." And I think Jesus demonstrated that very well in the parable of the unforgiving debtor. You know, that man had a small debt. The first man had a huge debt that he couldn't pay, and his master forgave him. And then the man with the huge debt had a man that owed him a small debt, and he wouldn't forgive him. So then the first man wasn't forgiven either. James 4:3 gives another reason why our prayers sometimes are not answered. It says, "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust." Do I sometimes pray maybe a legitimate prayer, a very needful thing, something that's legitimate, but do I have a selfish motive behind my prayer? Is that the reason that God doesn't hear that prayer? And then we also need to remember that our prayers need to be in God's will. There are some times that maybe we don't know exactly God's will in a certain situation. I had to think of Paul and his thorn in the flesh. You know, it says that he prayed 3 times for God to take this thing away, but he didn't do it. The Lord's answer was, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." So he had to just submit to God's will and accept that. And I had to think of that in prayer. Prayer is a thing of surrender, really, where my will needs to line up with God's will, not the thing of where, okay, this is what I want, so God, you need to come down here and line up with my will. It doesn't work that way. Our will needs to be surrendered to his will, and so he can answer our prayers. I'd like to read 1 Kings, verse 18. The account of Elijah there. 1 Kings 18, 21 to 39. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock to themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose ye one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lances till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made a trench about the altar as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put wood in order and cut the bullock in pieces and laid him on the wood and said, Fill 4 barrels with water and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar and filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Isn't that a tremendous testimony and a demonstration of how God answers prayer? You know, there were all those people, 450 prophets of Baal, and they couldn't get anything out of their God. And Elijah, one man all by himself, a simple prayer to the God of heaven. And that prayer was answered immediately. The fire came down. It didn't only burn the sacrifice, but it burned the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the dust, and even the water. I think God wanted to prove a point here that he is God. And the people had to agree. They fell on their faces and said, The Lord, he is God. Also, I had to think of Solomon. When Solomon became king of Israel, I think he felt a little bit overwhelmed. And I don't know if it was necessarily a prayer that he had, but he met God in the night, it says. And God told him he could have what he wanted. And Solomon made a very wise choice. He asked God for wisdom and knowledge to judge his people. And God said, you know what? I'm going to give you not only knowledge to guide my people, but I'm also going to give you wealth and honor. And it says, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. Solomon asked for a very unselfish thing, and God honored that. Sometimes God answers our prayers far beyond what we can even imagine. I also had to think of the story. Somewhere just recently I read a story of a man that was shipwrecked, and he was the only survivor, but he scraped a few things together from the ship and built a little hut there on the island. And every morning he would get up and pray that God would deliver him, would send someone to deliver him. And one morning he did his normal thing, had his breakfast, and prayed to God that he would send someone to deliver him that day. And then he left his little hut and went a ways away from it and looked back, and here his little hut was on fire. He just could not believe it. God, what is going on here? That's my only means of surviving, and here it's burning. Well, later in the day, there was a ship that showed up on the shore, and a captain came out and said, yeah, I saw your smoke signal this morning, thought I'd come over and see if you needed some help. So sometimes God answers our prayers in totally different ways than what we could possibly imagine, and better than what we could imagine. Another very important part of praying is to pray in faith. And here's where I guess I lack pretty bad sometimes. Mark 11:24 says, therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. This is not something that we do on our own. You know, just because I believe that I need this, then I can have it. No, it's not like that. But we believe that if it's God's will, and we believe that we trust in him, then he will do those things. I don't know how many times when Jesus was in his ministry, he would come to a person that was needed some help. You know, they were sick or lame or blind, and then he would ask the person, you know, do you believe that I can heal you? And when they would answer yes, then he would heal them. And I think he's the same way today. When we come to him with a prayer, we need to have faith that he will answer our prayers. I was tested pretty severely one morning this way, and it hopefully taught me a lesson. I don't know. There was a group of people that wanted to fly up to the Petén, northern Guatemala. And so I did the normal thing, you know, called up there to see if the weather was good, because it was always nice in the city, in the southern part. And my good friend Stephen Gingrich answered, and he said, yeah, you can come on up. It's raining here, but we'll pray, and God will open up a hole for you. And I was, of course, quiet for a little bit, because this doesn't sound good at all. But I said, you know what, I'll do that. And I wasn't feeling that way at all. What I was really thinking was, you don't understand. I mean, we've got six people in the plane. We could put them on the bus. They could be there tomorrow sometime. We're flying at 12,000 feet, and God's going to open a little hole. We're going to spiral down through it, and this just doesn't sound good. But I didn't. I said, okay, we're going to do it, and loaded up the plane and took off. Well, there was an hour and a half flight up north and lots of time to pray. And don't you know, I was so blessed. We serve an awesome God. When we got close to the area where I had to start coming down so we don't have to just drop and hurt everybody's ears and everything, there was a path through the clouds, a perfect path. I had to think of Moses and the children of Israel. Why should I be so surprised? He's the same God today. There was that perfect opening right through the middle of the clouds, and we came right down and landed on the little dirt strip. What a mighty God we serve. And that power is available to us every single day if we just ask him. So does God sometimes stretch us like that to strengthen our faith? I think he does. And we need to exercise that faith more. I know I need to do that. In closing, I'd like to read from Luke 6, verses 12 and 13, where Jesus had another something that I thought was very interesting. Luke 6, 12 and 13 says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out," talking about Jesus, "into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." I just had to think, do I spend the appropriate time in prayer when I'm faced with a decision? Here Jesus spent all night in prayer, and then he went out the next day and chose 12 people that would continue his ministry and start this new work that he had begun. All night is a long time. I've never done that where I prayed all night. But I just had to think, you know, Corey Ten Boom had an interesting question. She says, "Is prayer your steering wheel or is it your spare tire?" That's something for me to think about. Is prayer something that I'm using all the time as I'm going along, constantly in tune with God? Or is prayer something that's in the back, in the trunk of the car, that I only pull out in emergencies and difficult situations? I guess my encouragement to me and all of us would be, use prayer all the time. Live by it. It's our lifeline. I think prayer is to the Christian what the little air hose is to the diver. It's our lifeline. We've got to have it all the time. So maybe I'll just open it up. If you have something you want to share this morning, maybe a prayer that's been answered or one that you want answered, to share that, if anyone has something at this time. I know we do have some real prayer warriors here. There's been people that have prayed many times, and I just want to encourage us to continue doing that. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's stand to our feet at this time. Maybe Zach Beiler, if you'd lead us in a word of prayer. Amen. You're dismissed.